The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, a top Loch Ness monster hunter has given his final verdict. After 5 decades of chasing the mythical creature, Adrian Shine has concluded that he is simply not real. But from Fionn McCool to the Loch Ness monster, where does this folklore really come from and why does it continue to endure after all of these years? Well, I'm joined now by folklorist Michael Fortune. Michael, you are very welcome to the programme. So this poor guy, Adrian Shine, let's just start with him because he has given 5 decades searching for the Loch Ness monster, including leading a sonar expedition with £1 million worth of equipment back in 1987. Didn't find anything then. And it took him 30 years to conclude this guy doesn't exist.
And maybe he should have came to Ireland. We would have told him some of our folklore, and he would have kind of saved him a lot of bother, and he could have been on with something else in his life. But it's come here to me. We've loads of those stories here in Ireland. Loads of every corner of the country have those stories. But we don't have the hunters like himself.
No, I mean, when people think of Irish folklore, we're thinking stories like Fionn McCool, the Children of Lure, the Banshee, the Pooka come to mind. Why do you think these particular stories have endured so strongly in Irish culture?
Well, we love stories, and especially there's always a little bit of, I suppose, entertainment, a bit of magic. There's and loads of little things as well where we can connect to a story. And like, I even know when I'm looking out, like even the stories we put on, even on the landscape, and this, that kind of serpent story of Loch Ness is very common in Ireland. But like, even like where I grew up and on the coast of Wexford, there was a hill, and it was a kind of a dint in the hill. And my poor old grandmother, God rest her, always said that a giant sat down there and left the shape of his and once fell out in the hill and had a little verse. So people kind of put their own little kind of imaginary tales onto the landscape just to give them, I suppose, maybe they were trying to understand us. Even our megalithic sites, we'd have like our dolmens and stuff like them and our standing stones. Sometimes people said, oh, a giant left that there, or that's a giant's table, that's a giant's bed. And Granny's little verse was, in Ballyconnue, no, in Corrie grew near Ballyconnue, a giant took a stroll. He tripped on the tree, banged his knee and landed on his, I'll let you fill in the last bit. And that put the shape on the hill. So this idea of, you know, putting these stories into parts of the landscape, it's common human practice, I think.
So did these Irish legends, did they develop in a similar way to Nessie?
Absolutely. Our place names are littered with them. We forget it. Here in Wexford, we have 3 place names. We've got Powell Pasty, Loch na Paist, and Zunner Loch na Pasty. And I looked in Donegal there, Oilt na Paist, Tubber na Pasty in Kilkenny, Cappin na Pasty in Clare. So just a little key word, paste, is that little Irish word for a kind of a serpent or an eel or something that was kind of sometimes people use it as a monster. So that crops up, and there's loads of folklore around these serpents that were in lakes or in glens that cause bother to the farmers. And it's usually whatever, and coming up in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be having St. Patrick's Day, and it's usually the power of the church or the power of a saint will come along and banish them into the sea. There's a lovely story about him tormenting the people of Cork. I was only reading it there in the school's folklore collection earlier on today, and apparently it was a big serpent up in Lake Googan Barra, and the now community take all this now with a pinch of salt now, Kira, right? But the story that was told to a child was that St. Finbar came along anyway and decided to banish this fella out to the sea and get rid of him out of Cork. And he was so big and heavy that when he left the lake in Googan Barra, he meandered his way all the way back down to the sea. And by doing so then, didn't he leave the shape of his body in the landscape, and the River Lee was formed, and that was the end of that fella.
Even science is there, right, Michael, and it explains things away. People still want to believe, don't they?
Absolutely. Come here to me. There's magic. Like, even when we go to a film or something, we suspend imagination. And that's what's lovely. And even especially for children, you know, and even for an adult as well, because that's why we read books. That's why we go out to the cinema. That's why we, you know, it's our little escape, you know. And I suppose we have a huge tradition of oral history and oral culture within Ireland. And we're great talkers, probably, you know, better than writing in some ways, you know. So that's just, it's a way of entertainment. And I suppose we get it now in different forms as well, through radio and television and social media and all that kind of crack. But people do like a good story. It's again back to a simple human nature thing.
Yeah, and we can always embellish them in Ireland. We're pretty good at that.
Absolutely.
And we let it go. Michael Fortune, folklorist, thank you for being the tonic that I needed today and to bringing us up to date on all of that.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.